Welcome to the Heart for God podcast. With many years of experience pastoring and helping to start churches, Dr. Jim Townsley has some practical and biblical advice that can be a great help to you and your ministry. On this podcast, Dr. Townsley and other guests with special expertise cover a variety of topics. His goal is to help you lead your church to be a healthy, strong, and balanced ministry, and for your family to be happy, healthy, and living for the Lord.
Welcome to the podcast today. Thank you for joining me. We have with me today Pastor Bill Beck, and you're the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Groton, Connecticut.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good to be here.
And that's actually the town of the first Baptist church in our state, is it not?
Yes. You know, a couple of years ago, I spent a lot of time going through the history of the area. And when I found that out, I went and looked at where the original foundations were, and tremendous history. Yeah.
Have you been to the cemetery where Valentine Weidman is buried?
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you said that. And the headstone is a pulpit.
It's something. I've never seen anything like that.
It is. I've brought preachers there. They were so excited to be able to see that. Again, tremendous history. These people had to actually ask the Connecticut General Assembly for the permission to found that church because it was Baptist and not congregational. But they granted it, and that church was in existence until about 10 years ago.
Is that right?
That's correct. Yes, sir. Unfortunately, but that's a long run. That's a long run.
Sure. And I think Valentine Weidman was there 40-some years, and then his son and grandson?
Five generations. It was something like 125 years where the pastor, son, grandson, great and great great grandson, all pastoring that church, which is something I'd never heard of before. Five generations.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Certainly is. So here you are. You come, I guess, 150 years or more later.
Yes, yes.
And you have to start a new church there.
Yes.
And when you started that church, I would say, now you've been there a while, 31 years you said,
it'd be
right?
31 years in August, yes, sir.
Shoot.
Yeah. Gone fast.
So the church, when it began, I would dare say, is probably not exactly the same as it is today.
No, sir. Yeah.
So there had to be a progression, a development. So tell me, what did the church look like in the beginning, and what were some of the challenges when you first started?
Well, we first began, you know, looking back, pastors, we all remember certain markers, you know, and we had 70 people on our first day. And then, of course, but you settle into about 15 or 20 people who are with you in the very beginning, at least for us. And over the years, it was identifying leaders, and it was spending, investing time in those men and women to bring them along, you know, and to train them. But over the years, God has been good to us. And we are in a military area, so we had a lot of turnover.
That's a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
It's both. Yeah. It's both. We met wonderful people who helped us tremendously, but I really could not imagine how many. I mean, at this point, we're talking thousands of people. They would come in and they would leave. But I would say this, Pastor, we have two men that were sailors who came. So they're pastors today themselves. You know, after their military career. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Just in case somebody listening doesn't realize, you're right next to the sub base.
Yeah, submarine base. And I would have to say that when I started, I really didn't know what I was getting into, you know, and because I had not been around that. But it's all I've known, too. So there's got the grace of God. It's what I know, and wonderful people. But when you look at the beginning to today, I would say as far as a church plant, it becomes very important that a pastor not only invest in people, but identify the leaders or potential leaders and train them. If the pastor continues to try to do it all alone, it won't go well.
Oh, now, it's interesting you say that, but did you understand that yourself when you began?
No. I have to say that I did not. My whole focus was just hit the ground hard and do everything you can. And it became apparent to me, and good advice, right? You end up talking to older pastors, even men who had retired from full-time pastoring, who were able to give me good advice.
Sure. Well, there's a progression, not only for the church, but also for the pastor himself. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things you had to learn as you got started? What were you dealing with at the time when you started, and then how has the Lord grown you since then?
I had to learn. My personality was such of go, 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 which is good. But I had to learn that there was no substitute for my own personal study, that I had to dig. I couldn't count on my Bible college education, which is great. At that, what I realized that put me in a position where I could really study, in my opinion, and that I had to put the time in and learn. There's no substitute for going to the pulpit ready with being able to preach the Word of God so God's people can grow.
Okay. One of the things people talk about is what is your attendance? How are you growing? Are you growing? Mm-hmm. How do you perceive that as far as the number of people attending,
right,
the numerical growth, compared to the spiritual growth in the church? And how do you balance that in your mind?
That's a great question. I mean, these are the kind of metrics, you know, you meet friends and they want to know how many you have and how many you're growing. I could say this, there were times where our attendance would be strong, but the church itself was not, you know, spiritual growth. And it does take time to build and grow a people for God's glory, which he's the one who's going to do the work. But the balancing of it, this is the answer I would give, is to do what's right. And really, you have to allow God to build it numerically and spiritually, but to just do the right things.
So are there any people from the beginning that you saw as leaders that have stayed with you the whole time?
Oh, yes, sir.
And there are. And are there people that did not continue?
Yes, we had the vast majority of people who had to move on. It was simply because the military, you know, rang the bell, or people retiring and sometimes just relocating. But God has been good to us, where the spirit of the church has been good. The people loved the church, but we have a good number of people that have 25 plus years with us.
Wow!
At the church now, men and women who are there, they're leaders, they're respected, and have been a blessing.
One of the things I heard several years ago, somebody said, one key element of a strong church is the longevity of the pastor.
Yes, I would, the blessing of that, could only describe it personally. I have a relationship with people there that is like family. And I love them, I trust them, and they do the same for me. I think one of the difficulties of a pastor, if he's moving a lot, and I realize that for some men that just happens with them, you're constantly starting over and having to build a rapport. It is a wonderful thing, because things are going to happen in your life, and things are going to happen in your ministry that are negative. And when those church people know who you are, because they essentially have lived with you for years, it makes weathering any of those storms much easier.
You know, that's a good point. I think sometimes people just watch the pastor to see how he responds to problems, tragedy, and difficulty.
Yes.
And that can lead them to have a greater faith and trust in you. You earn their respect when they see that.
I would agree. There's some things I've dealt with that I dealt with quietly, but at the same time, the people, they're aware, just heartaches. And I was amazed where the church was the church. They were godly, and they were encouraging, and then they even in turn said, Pastor, these things that seem to be negative are actually blessings for our church.
So, young guy starting out, just what advice would you give a young guy starting out? He's going to start a church. What would you warn him about, and what would you encourage him about?
I would warn him to beware. There's so many trends now, and the internet is something that just really wasn't a big deal. It wasn't there years ago, and it's just incredible. But what it does is it puts a lot of information in front of people that looks legitimate. Pastor Townsley, if we go back years ago, you go back 30, 40 years ago and beyond, false doctrines would often not make their way into a reputable publishing company. A person couldn't get a lot of strange things published. I'm not saying they didn't get some, but today everything is so packaged in such a way online that it looks legitimate. And that, just to say that it's now more important now than ever that they teach their people the Word of God. I would challenge a young man to see the benefit in slowing down, not being in a hurry, but to be thorough in their approach in founding a church and loving the people, that if they go about it the right way, the growth will take care of itself, but not to get ahead of yourself.
Well, in essence, then a church needs to be healthy. If a church is healthy, they're balanced.
Yes, sir.
You know, they're not all just activity, and they're not all just searching the scripture and, you know, you stay in your office all the time.
Right.
But there is a balance of loving the people, building the people, staying in the scripture, soul winning. Mm-hmm. There has to be a balance in all that.
Absolutely. I had a pastor who I respect say to me years ago, he said, healthy things grow. And that really made an impact on me. He said,
I like that.
It's good. Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's a good statement.
He said, if your church is healthy, it's going to grow because people are hungry. And they want to be around something healthy. And what are Christians? We're human beings. We're men and women who have trusted Christ as our Savior, who still have needs. We have needs of friendship, companion, understanding. They need to hear the preaching of the Word of God more than anything. But pastors need to remember that, yeah, these are people that have everyday real problems in their life, and they need somebody to care for them.
I guess it's sort of like a family where your children grow up. They're infants, they're babies, they're toddlers, the elementary age children, they're teenagers, mm-hmm. then they're young adults. It's not all the same, and to a degree, we do think church is sort of like that. The people in the church mature. You as a pastor mature,
yes.
and learn how to help people and respond to people and so on.
Yes, absolutely. A church will go through stages of growth, much like you say, like people will. And there are men who start churches where the church sees very fast growth. Our church was not like that, but I've often thought how difficult it would be if a man starts a church and very quickly there's hundreds and hundreds of people, but the church is still young, you know, regardless of its size.
Yeah, I think it could be a curse to have too many people at once.
Because could be.
You know, how do you get everybody on the same page? Mm-hmm. How do you get their trust? How do you know who is a good leader? Who has proven themselves?
Right.
You know, and all that takes time.
It does. Yeah.
And you have to kind of sort through all of that.
Yeah.
Like, who can teach Sunday school? You don't really know, and sometimes the people don't even know until
right.
they try it.
Yeah, you're right.
You can have a whole bunch of people teaching, and they don't know what they're doing.
It takes time. I might suggest to a young man to his Sunday school to, if he has a small group of people, use that Sunday school hour to teach them, to train them to be leaders. I've seen other pastors do that, and I thought that worked
sure.
very well.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Be very helpful.
Well, the ministry is a great, great thing. Being a pastor and seeing our kids grow up
yes.
in the church, it's a wonderful thing. But I, looking back at it now, for me, almost 50 years, it's a challenge. There are a lot
yes.
of, it's not for everybody.
No.
It's not for everybody. But if God calls you, it's a wonderful thing and a great way for your family to grow up. It's a wonderful, I mean, one day you look back and you say,
yeah.
I influenced all these people. I've put my life into others. It is very rewarding.
Yes.
And there are a lot of things I could have done maybe that I would look back at and say, what did I really accomplish?
Right.
Of eternal value.
Right.
So the ministry is a great thing. And, well, you know, you've given us some good insight today. I appreciate you taking the time.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate what you said because so often we talk about how difficult ministry is, but it is actually hard to explain how wonderful it is at the same time.
It is absolutely true. And some great people that do
yes.
so many things for you. They love you.
Yes, sir.
It's a great thing. Well, God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pastor Townsend.
You join us again next week.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider sharing it with a friend. You can also follow at Dr. Townsley on Twitter or on Facebook at Jim Townsley.